This is In the Public Interest.
We bring you the latest in news.
Is there a racial divide between Greek organizations on campus?
Environment.
Expects as much traffic as usual.
And other important topics.
San Marcos Police Department Chief Chase Staff.
Which could possibly be the source of the problem.
Leaving the campus a ghost town.
Keep history alive.
And there's no better place to be than San Marcos.
And now here's your host.
Hello, and welcome to this week's In the Public Interest. I'm your host, Jacqueline Carter.
And I'm your host, Delia Jones. This week's topic is remembering 9/11.
We'll be hearing a story from Clayton Kelly, and we also interviewed a few students and KTSW's own Amberly Russell.
On September 11, 2001, 19 militants who were associated with an Islamic extremist group known as Al-Qaeda hijacked four airliners that they later used to carry out several terrorist attacks here in the U.S. Two of four hijacked planes were flown into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York. The third plane was flown into the Pentagon outside of Washington, D.C., and the fourth crashed into a field in Pennsylvania. This attack was felt not only across the country, but also the world.
While the nation mourned, this prompted the U.S.'s effort to fight terrorism. Almost 3,000 lives were lost and about 6,000 injured in the attacks. While the nation mourned, this prompted the U.S.'s effort to fight terrorism. Almost 3,000 lives were lost and about 6,000 were injured in the attacks. The U.S. later dubbed September 11th as a day of service and remembrance. Delia, we were young when 9/11 happened, but what do you remember?
I actually remember, I don't know, for some reason I did not go to school that day. I remember coming into the living room, and for some reason my grandpa was in the living room sitting on the couch with my mom. And, you know, I was really excited that my grandpa was there because I love him so much. And I remember making a pallet on the floor in front of the TV. And I remember actually watching the planes crash into the towers. And I was really confused because my mom and my grandpa were looking really serious. But, you know, I thought we were watching a movie the whole time. So, you know, I'm like, Mama, what's happening? What's happening? And I don't know, like, for me, I just was not aware of what was actually going on until I actually got older. What about you?
Yeah, I didn't realize everything that was going on either. I just remember everyone's parents were picking them up from school, and I guess my parents didn't have a job to where they could. And so I was one of the only students left, and it got to the point where some of the teachers were even leaving. So they had combined a lot of the classrooms, and we were just kind of all sitting around. I don't even think they had television screens showing us that because I went to a private school. So it was more kind of censored. Mm-hmm. And so they just didn't want to show us that. So I didn't really understand until I got older, I think until about the third grade when that was my first time really having a conversation about it at school.
Yeah.
And even then I learned that my views weren't, I didn't really know what happened.
Yeah. And you know, we forgot to tell the audience this, but at the time me and Jackie were about five or six. So
yeah,
we were like young. In the first grade. At that age, everything is just rainbows and popsicles. So you really
aren't exposed to the world and what's going on. And you really don't realize how serious things are. You kind of get a sense, but it doesn't really hit you until you get older and you get more educated that this was an event that shook the world.
Exactly. So, Jackie, you asked some students around campus what their perceptions were of the event. And here's what they said.
That day was just something that I'll never forget. I was in the second grade.
I couldn't have been no more than in the first or kindergarten. And we turned on the TV, and that's when I heard about the attack. And I mean, still at an early age, I was able to understand how serious it was.
And all the teachers, I cut the TV on, we sat around and watched it, and they just showed like the planes hitting the buildings, and everyone was like screaming and crying, and everyone's parents was coming to pick them up, but my parents didn't come and pick me up, so I started to cry because I was scared.
Seeing that my mom worked on a military base, things were kind of crazy at the time, so everything kind of was shut down, and you know, people were going crazy, and it was just a whole different dynamic. Me being a 7-year-old, it was something that I had never experienced, you know, a world tragedy like that.
And I remember not knowing what was going on when it happened, but I remember my teachers hysterically crying, screaming, locking the doors, telling everyone to go under the tables. Like, it was just one of those moments that everyone was scared for their lives.
I remember my mom coming up to school and checking me out, and she didn't tell me what was going on. I asked her, she didn't explain anything. My brother was in the car too, and We just went home, and the first thing we did when we got home was got on our knees and prayed.
I think my parents were really scared because no one knew, like, where they was going to hit next, if they were going to hit next. And so it was just a really crazy time. And later that night, I stayed right down the street from the airport. I was scared and I didn't want to go to sleep because I thought planes were going to crash into my house because, you know, we stayed so close to the airport. And my parents were trying to explain to me what terrorism was.
So as we get closer to the anniversary of September 11th, 2001, I think we just need to take time to sit back and, you know, appreciate, you know, the military and everything that they do and the people that, you know, lost their lives in that, you know, in the innocent attack, the people that fought on the plane, just everybody that was a part of it, good or bad, because, you know, forever that would be a part of American history.
Dalia, how did you feel about those student perceptions?
I feel like it was pretty sad to be that young and to be that afraid and to not know about what's going on. Like one of the students said, she lived right next to the airport. You know, I remember she saying that she, you know, she was scared that night when she went to sleep because she didn't know if she was next. What 6-year-old thinks like that? Yeah. And it's really sad. What do you think about it?
Especially hearing the part about Bush, too, because he was in Texas.
Yes.
And he was very close to where I was at the time. And so people were just frantic. And that's why a lot of people were actually picking their kids up from school because they didn't know if this would be their last moments with their children. And that and hearing about being on base. Like, that was my first time actually hearing about somebody that was on base at the time that it happened and how that just impacted his life as well. So, Dalia, you actually talked to Amberly, who not only works at the station, but she's also a veteran.
Amberly was a freshman in college at the time, so she shared with me her own story about the day. For those who don't know Amberly, Amberly is the public relations coordinator here at KTSW, and she served some time. I think she enlisted a year before 9/11 actually happened, and so it was really amazing to get to hear her side of the story. So to start off, our first question is, what do you remember off the top of your head about 9/11?
So during 9/11, I was a freshman in college at the University of Texas in Arlington. And that morning, I had an 8 o'clock class. When I woke up, I was up early enough to see the Twin Towers being hit and people actually jumping from the buildings. So I was there, I was up early enough to where it was live and it wasn't edited because later on in the day they edited out the people actually jumping from the buildings. And watching that and seeing just the atrocities that happened to our country and the attack on our country, I took it really personally because a year before 9/11, I joined the Army Reserves. And so I had already gone through basic training as a military police officer in the Army. And I was just doing they call us weekend warriors. So I was doing my little 1 weekend a month training that we did. And knowing that I was trained to do something about this attack that happened to my country that I love just made me feel like I'm trained to do something to protect my country. I'm gonna go on active duty and I'm gonna serve and protect my country that had just been brutally attacked. So the next day, September 12th, 2001, I went to my local recruiting station and told the recruiters that I was trained, willing, and ready to go protect my country. And so 9/11 had a profound effect on my life because it completely changed the trajectory of my existence. I went on active duty. I joined the 1st Infantry Division because in my naivete, I thought that the 1st Infantry Division would be the first unit to go to Afghanistan, and I wanted to be first because I was trained to do a job. And when you're trained to do a job, you want to be able to get to do that job, right? So, but I ended up going to into the 1st Infantry Division, 1st Military Police Company. I was stationed in Germany. Germany was absolutely beautiful, so gorgeous. And so ultimately, I ended up being deployed in Kosovo and training the new nation of Kosovo how to police their new nation with the United Nations from Egypt. So I did get to do my job, just not in Afghanistan or Iraq. A lot of times the Kosovo deployment era gets overlooked because it was just 2 years before 9/11 and even after and into, you know, 2005, 2006, 2007. So a lot of times that deployment is a little bit like overlooked, I guess. A lot of people don't realize that we were doing other things at the same time as the post 9/11 veterans, you know, in Afghanistan and Iraq. But yeah, so that's my 9/11 story.
Okay, so can you kind of take us back to the morning of the attack? Like, what were you doing? Like, and when you saw it, how did you feel?
I was getting ready to go to an 8 o'clock class at the University of Texas in Arlington. And I woke up like I do every morning, turn the news on so I can know what's going on in the world, and saw the breaking news story. And I was early enough to see both structures were still standing by the time I was seeing the live broadcast. And so I just watched them both crumble before my eyes within the hour.
So did you go to class that day?
No, I did not go to class that day. I stayed home.
Did you go out in public at all?
I didn't. Me and my roommate, we just kind of were in awe and stayed home and contemplated life.
So did you make calls to family, friends? Anything like that?
I did not know anybody personally in New York. And so, no, I didn't have anyone that I felt was in danger that I needed to reach out to.
Okay. So let's put ourselves in the days after the attack. What would you say that the energy or the characteristics of everyone that you saw the days following the attack, how was that?
Something that was really profound to me that was happening in Arlington, Texas that day and the days after was I was a college student and I was on campus and campus had just had this eerie feeling, like people were not showing up to classes. It was pretty barren. I did find something very interesting that happened at that time was a lot of papers were like our first midterm kind of type papers were like being assigned to us. So people were out in the libraries and stuff. Well, I always like to do my stuff really early in the morning, like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., no one's in the library. So I go into the library at the lab, the computer lab, at 2 a.m., and it's mainly just Middle Eastern people in there. There was no diversity in there. It was full of Middle Eastern people, and you could tell that they were really concerned, almost kind of panicky. You could tell that they were talking to their people back home and probably trying to reassure their parents and their siblings and their loved ones that, you know, we're not being persecuted right now for anything that's happening. We're totally safe. The police aren't knocking down our doors. Because the police were doing that at that time. Right after 9/11 in Arlington, Texas, where I was, people were raiding apartment homes of Middle Eastern people who were on watch lists.
Did you have any personal friends who happened to be from the Middle East at the time? Or these were just stories that you were just hearing?
These were just stories that I was hearing and kind of witnessing in the computer lab.
So did you have, like, maybe this apprehension towards, you know, people from the Middle East, being that you did serve at that point and that you were enlisted at that point? Did you feel, I guess, the sort of panic that the rest of America was feeling?
Luckily, my mother brought me up very well. And so, no, I'd never have had that within my soul, within my being, to be racist, you know, to be blunt. I had a good upbringing in that respect. So, no, it didn't change my mind towards a particular religious group.
Did you see people being treated differently after this? Did you see the way that people, I guess, the way that they communicated with each other, you know, regardless of race or anything like that? Did you see more people hugging, more people crying together, more apprehension towards each other? What was the type, like, the environment at the time?
Well, at the time, I think the patriotic nature of the people who were around me. I grew up in a very small town. A lot of people go into the military from rural areas in Texas because they feel like they might not necessarily be able to go to college otherwise. So there are a lot of military people in my family, a lot of military people from my hometown that went in right at 18. And as far as the military community is concerned, I felt like it, for me, and this is just my experience, I surround myself with birds of a feather who are just of the mentality that I am, who are not closed-minded, who are appreciative of other ethnicities and religious organizations. So for us, it was mainly just, it wasn't about another like group of people attacking us. It was just that we were attacked. And so what can we do to prevent that? And that's why I went on active duty, to do my job.
So do you feel like this particular attack kind of increased your drive to be?
It did. It definitely did, because it changed, like I said before, it changed the whole trajectory of my life. If that wouldn't have happened, then I wouldn't have traveled the world. I wouldn't have gone to serve overseas in Kosovo. And incidentally, this year was the first time that I went to visit the 9/11 Memorial in New York.
And how was that?
It was... oh, I get chills just thinking about it. I went a few years ago, back when it was just being built, so I didn't get to see anything. But I know I walked out of the subway and went to the waterfall area. It's one of the towers is just now a never-ending waterfall. And I remember setting my backpack up on the memorial. I had no idea that you were not supposed to do that. I just really didn't know. Totally ignorant. And I put my back, and a police officer came up and he was like, "Ma'am, you need to take your backpack off." And immediately I was like, I felt so ashamed and embarrassed. And he like ran off, and I tracked him down. I like ran right after him. I was like, "No, he can't think that I'm like this bad person." So I like ran after him. I tapped him on the shoulder. I was like, "Excuse me, sir." 9/11 actually had a really profound effect on my life, and I'm here to pay my respects. And like his whole demeanor changed, and he explained everything I needed to see and what I couldn't miss, and thanked me for my service. And then I went into where they keep all the artifacts, hundreds and hundreds of artifacts, in the second building next to the waterfall, and walking through, and it's so brilliantly done that you walk through one portion and it gives me chills. You walk through and you hear pieces of stories from firefighters and families just kind of coming down from the ceiling. How they manage that with their audio, I don't know, but it just gives you, it just sends chills down your spine when you hear the stories of these family members. And then there's also a portion at the 9/11 Memorial Museum where you can go into a sound booth and you can record your own personal history. And I cried from the moment I stepped in that booth. I took a deep breath and it's like this, these lights like come on and like hit you in the face, and you're like on camera telling your story in this dark room with these bright lights. And I was sitting there, and I know my lips were quivering, and I was just like, I'm really gonna try to get through this without crying. And I just said basically everything I told you and told the camera, and hopefully people who get to hear that story, that there were people who stepped up after 9/11 and who went and fought for the people who perished and the family members who suffered from the loss and the tragedies that happened that day.
Do you feel like the same feeling that was felt that week or that day of patriotism, do you still think that resonates now with Americans?
Oh, gosh, what a good question. Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's a really good question. Goodness. You know, I'm a member of the veterans, you know, group, you know, like that's, I do a lot for veterans issues at Texas State University. So I try to stay as connected as possible to veterans and veterans issues. And I know, and I don't speak for everybody, that a lot of us were extremely disillusioned and heartbroken when the hoopla of weapons of mass destruction were not found. And in the realization that a lot of, not Afghanistan, but following Afghanistan, the catalyst for invading Iraq was oil. Knowing that, I am still patriotic, but that is a wound that a lot of us will carry with us for many years, because whereas Afghanistan was, that's where the Taliban is hiding. Let's go in there, infiltrate Afghanistan, and get them out. And then, you know, that's the war. That's the culmination of being attacked, right, for 9/11. And then it leading into this kind of grotesque, oil-based lie. You know, I guess there's no clear answer to your question, because you go back and forth, because I did a lot of great things. We veterans, we've done a lot of great positive things, like in Kosovo, working with children and teaching them English and helping them to get food, clothing, and shelter because they're a third world country, going in and doing those things and working with civil affairs in a foreign country and helping the country to grow and building their infrastructure and things like that make me feel extremely patriotic. And I try to hold on to that more than the hurt of being lied to.
So if you could sum up remembering 9/11 in one word, what would be your word?
One word to sum up 9/11. Goodness. I would just say the only word I can really think of that really resonates with me is profound.
And what does that word mean to you?
To me, it's more than just a word. It's a feeling. It's a feeling in your chest of heaviness and meaning and depth.
Amberly brought up some really interesting points in her interview. I think one that really stuck out to me was how many Middle Eastern people, or those perceived to be Middle Eastern, have suffered backlash from this particular event. So what do you think about that?
I actually didn't realize the things that they went through until I watched a movie called My Name is Khan, and it showed how his life was before, and then it showed how it rocked not only his life, but his marriage, and something else terrible happened to him at the time, and they had these vivid scenes of a woman getting her hijab ripped off as she walked down the hallway. And I think oftentimes when we talk about 9/11, we don't talk about the people that were discriminated against and that had violence acted on them, and they did nothing. And I think we often try and silence them, and we often try and tell them that their experiences weren't real because people don't want to admit that that was happening at the time.
Yeah, you're totally right. I honestly was not really cognizant of it until I reached like high school. And I didn't even realize that although America was under attack, in some ways, America was attacking its own people.
Yeah, definitely. And I was reading in one of my textbooks for my class that there was actually rhetoric coming from our president at the time that was talking against these people.
Yeah.
And so people put all of their trust into the president. And when you have your president saying things like this, you think that, I guess, as a duty as an American, I have to believe the things that he believes. And I have to act on these things that he are saying that just weren't true.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the impact of 9/11, reporter Clayton Kelly did a story on how 9/11 impacted media and students' lives as well.
There are some moments in history that leave a permanent scar. Unfortunately, these wounds seem to carry over from generation to generation, forever altering the course of existence in ways that seem to be incomprehensible and unimaginable. For many of us, September 11th, 2001 was one of those moments. 9/11 impacted not only American lives, but the entire world. A few Texas State students and faculty experienced these national changes on a very personal level. There are very few events in history that seem to leave such a wound on one's memory. Even those who are as young as 10 years old during this attack can recall the experience of fear and uncertainty. Thomas McDonald was a Texas State student starting his sophomore year during the September 11th attack. He says the entire student body was filled with shock and was all somehow connected to a terrible event that occurred miles away.
Absolutely silent. There was such a heaviness in the air on campus for weeks at a time. And then you started hearing stories about your fellow students who maybe knew someone who was somehow affected.
Working as an assistant news director for KTSW at the time, McDonald says this tragic event called for every media practitioner to be all hands on deck.
I've actually told this story numerous times. I remember it very vividly. I was in a class with Dr. Vella, I don't believe he's at Texas State anymore, in Centennial Hall. And the gentleman who used to run the AV in there switched those projectors over to CNN with no sound on it. So Dr. Vella's up there lecturing, and his back is to the screens, and he's just talking to the class of, what, 280 people fit in there. And Jimmy turns the TV or the monitors on to CNN. And then that was right about the moment that the second plane hit. Now understand, there was no audio. And Dr. Vella said he was watching the faces of the class, unbeknownst to him what was going on behind him, just in terror as this was happening. And he turned around and looked up at the screen. He had his hands were full of papers. He dropped them all, and he just said, "Ladies and gentlemen, your entire world has just changed."
McDonald then left class and sped all the way to Austin to start reporting.
Every single radio network went wall to wall. When I was at KTSW, we were using the Litchfield News Service. And they offered a constant, basically, they had a partnership with the AP, and we just turned on that signal for, I'm guessing, probably a good 18 to 24 hours. Because we were so new, what could a small Texas State station react with at that moment? All we could do is just have a constant stream of information.
According to an article from the Washington Post, 9/11 instigated a worldwide web of change. And with the explosion of smartphones, news started to become much more instantaneous. McDonald lived through this experience, and he says producers of media are now much more conscientious when reporting potential threats.
If I was to draw a correlation between the way that the news media reacted to 9/11 to what goes on now with the most recent, you know, mass shooting in Orlando or, you know, the school shootings and all that, this idea of descending into chaos in order to pull out information, I think 9/11 was kind of the turning point.
Because of this, he says a need for 24-hour reporting became much more prevalent.
Based on 9/11, you could very much draw a correlation between the divisiveness of 24-hour news, where you have Fox News versus MSNBC versus CNN versus Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera really wasn't broadcasting as strong in the U.S. at that point, but I think definitely 9/11 was a turning point for the way that instant news was covered and the way that the American public and the world almost felt entitled to instant information, even if it put reporters in danger, even if it put the public in danger, even if it put lives in danger because of what reporters were reporting.
Texas State lecturer Dan Seed says reporters need to approach tragedy of this magnitude with a degree of sensitivity. As a 19-year-old journalist at Boston University at the time of the attack, he says this was a particularly difficult process for him.
One of the people that was in the planes was the brother of our assistant hockey coach at the university. He was a scout for the Los Angeles Kings and was flying back from Boston to Los Angeles when their plane hit one of the towers. And that was emotional. I covered the hockey team as a student reporter. And so to go to practice after that was, it's difficult. You know, you're 19 years old. Death is never easy, no matter your age. But when you're having to go to practice and write these stories on something as heady as this, I mean, let alone, you know, you're a new reporter trying to figure out how do I cover a Division I team, but now there's this added, I've got to talk to this guy and how do I tell the story and work on this? So that was a difficult process to navigate too. Obviously not near as difficult as the families that lost people.
McDonald says there is a terrible stigma that has occurred in media since 9/11.
It is a little scary the way that people get attracted to coverage of tragedy. We could talk about the Paris attack, or we could talk about what happened in Orlando. How something as tragic as the shooting in Orlando spurred so many side topics that took even more branches into side topics, where the entire story focus was taken off the victims and focused on other issues. You know, you could say 9/11, yes, the U.S. was shocked. Yes, the American people felt like they got a gut punch and that we all walked around in a daze for a little while. But that opened the door to some nasty criticism and discrimination and profiling and all these things that weren't an issue until this happened. And you could almost say some of it was looking for a scapegoat.
9/11 saw the beginning of a shift in the way users consume media. And McDonald says reporters should stray away from pointing fingers and strive towards the truth. For KTSW News, I'm Clayton Kelly.
Well, that's all for your In the Public Interest this week.
Remember to tune in on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 11 a.m. right here on KTSW, The Other Side of Radio.
Missed an episode? Visit us online at ktswblog.net. Also like our Facebook page and tell us what you think our next show topic should be.
Have a great
and wonderful week.
None of us will ever forget this day. Yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you. Good night, and God bless America.